Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I once had a date with the same bloodshot eye that LeBron was sporting for game two of the NBA Finals. It was a bit embarrassing. Actually, I think it was a date for Thanksgiving dinner, too. So it was the guy as well as his family. And I showed up with an eye that was all red over in the corner and scary. No one wants to hang out with the chick or have a conversation and make eye contact with the chick who's got, you know, that scary, beady little red eye. I wondered why everyone was avoiding looking at me or even talking to me. No, it was terrible. I remember how self-conscious I was the entire time. I'm sure it wasn't that way for LeBron. In fact, maybe it's a trait of a superhero. Red bloodshot eyes. He was pretty close to superhero in game two of the NBA Finals. And yet, as we've seen throughout this postseason, he's gotten tired. And that's part of the issue when all of the responsibility falls on you. I gotta say, though, as much as this series has been written off as a foregone conclusion by a lot of people, I won't say all people, because that wouldn't be accurate, by a lot of people, I haven't even felt the need to channel surf during the games. They're really good. Now, I get it. Obviously, I can't channel surf during the games because it's my job to sit there. And I start taking notes, you know, very first quarter. In fact, even before the game tips off, I have a couple of notes to kind of set things up. So I'm not really allowed to channel surf. But the point is, my brain hasn't even wanted to channel surf or to go to my DVR and, you know, find another show to watch. So I found the games to be really entertaining. I know you can't take the uniforms off. You can't take the uniforms off these guys. You can't take the names off the unis. You can't take the faces off of them. And we're not talking about clones here. But if you just appreciate the basketball and don't get ticked off that it's the same two teams again, I think you would also be entertained. And it's good that I've heard a bunch of tweets and It's good that I've heard from a lot of you on Twitter, and I've seen a bunch of tweets that have indicated that, okay, once we stop being so uptight about the fact that it's the fourth consecutive NBA Finals between these two teams, it's been good stuff. In back-to-back games, we've had NBA Finals records. Now, for LeBron, it was 51 points in a losing effort, which has never happened before in the NBA Finals. But to see one of only six 50-point games and the first one since 1993, that was the opener, not to mention all the drama late in the game. And this game was close for most of the way. The Cavaliers actually outscored the Warriors in the third quarter. And in the fourth quarter, we got the finish from Steph Curry. If you love basketball, there's no way you can't enjoy a performance like LeBron's in game one and Steph Curry's in game two. So I know it's way easier and more fun to complain about what we don't have, but here's what we do have. A 2-0 lead for the Warriors. Two games that have been a lot of fun for different reasons. Game two, not nearly as dramatic. The Warriors led from wire to wire, but we got a show from Steph Curry, and you got to see what the Warriors' offense looks like when they are zipping the ball around. They actually did not shoot well from three-point land in the first half, and yet still shot 60% overall. Why? Because they were working it inside. Layups, dunks. There were some mid-range jumpers. No, what? Yes, so there were mid-range jumpers. Oh, and we did get a shimmy from Steph as well. It was a down-low shimmy, like he was going under the bar. What's that bar called? That game that people do at parties? What's that called? Limbo, thank you. Clearly, I haven't been to a party with Limbo in a long time. Anyway, I've enjoyed it. I hope that you've enjoyed it, too. And here's the deal. The Cavaliers have been in this position before. They've been down two games in a playoff series this spring. Hello, Boston. And they weren't the team with the home court in that series. And they've also been down 0-2 against the Warriors 2 years ago. Anybody remember the 2016 NBA Finals that went to a Game 7? Hello, Kyrie Irving. So this is not foreign territory for the Cavaliers. It's also not foreign territory when they return to Quicken Loans Arena for Games 3 and 4, which, by the way, Game 3 is not until Wednesday. Such ridiculous scheduling for the NBA playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I hope you had a great weekend. I had the grill out on Sunday, made some steaks. Also had to get rid of some hot dogs that I've had for a really long time, so I had to cook those too. But Penny enjoyed eating a piece of hot dog and asparagus. So steak and asparagus on the grill made me so happy on Sunday. I was trying to make the time go faster, waiting for the basketball game to tip off. But yeah, good weekend, good relaxing weekend, good sleep this weekend, which isn't always the case. That wasn't me. Wait, why is there a recording in my bedroom? So anyway, I hope that you enjoyed your weekend. There was a lot happening, not just basketball. Tiger Woods, if he finds his putter, he is going to be dangerous at the U.S. Open because he hit the ball better than we have seen him since he returned in 2018. Also, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final was incredible atmosphere. It was amazing to see the fans in D.C. just go ballistic over their team hosting its first Stanley Cup Final game in 20 years. We also had a no-hitter until 8 2/3 innings. Ouch. A big-time pitcher calling out his own team. I'm trying to think what else happened this weekend. Oh, my gosh, my favorite baseball story of the weekend, which I won't spoil it. I won't give it away, but it actually went back to Friday. So there's a lot to talk about. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. In case you're interested, I posted pictures of my mom's vacation. My mother is on vacation in Colorado, and she's sending pictures, of course, like I did when I was on vacation in South Carolina. But the pictures that she sent me look like they're from a postcard. I'm actually a little suspicious, wondering if mom got these off a postcard actually taking them herself. So check out my Twitter and look at my mom's vacation pictures in the mountains in Colorado. She took a ride to Telluride on Saturday, and the pictures she sent back, just unbelievable. And so that's on my Twitter too. And I hope that you had as much fun as my mom on your weekend, because I don't even know. She was in one of the coolest places ever. I need to go visit now. Telluride looks amazing. That was a total side note. So you can find me on Twitter or on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Tell me something, and I want you to be honest, because if this is the case, then fine. I'll be alone on my little island. I have no trouble being alone on my little island. I feel like I find myself there very frequently. Are you more interested in the rest of this NBA Finals or in LeBron's decision in free agency come this summer? It feels like it's jumping the shark a little bit. Now, honestly, thank you, Dre. He can pick and choose anywhere he wants to go. I mean, there are some teams out there that can't afford him, at least right now. But you can imagine that any team in the NBA would do their darndest do its darndest to make room for LeBron if he decided, hey, I want to come to your city. And I've heard people talking about his future destination, trying to figure out what it is, and speculating now as though that's bigger than what he does the rest of the way here in the finals. I guess I'm just not there. But if that's where you are, bring it. Let me hear it. Are you more interested in the rest of the NBA finals? What LeBron might do in these games in Cleveland? We've already seen a 51-point performance. And you know what the crowd in Cleveland will do to energize him and to energize the Cavs. I mean, they were down 0-2 to Boston and won both their games at the Q. But are you more interested in the rest of these NBA finals or in what LeBron might do? Might do, okay? Might do. We don't know that he's going to leave Cleveland. But there's a lot of speculation for sure. And is it premature? Maybe, because if the Cavaliers come back and win this series, again, they've done it before. If they come back and win this series, how in the world does he leave the Cavaliers? But that's just me thinking out loud. So again, find me on Twitter, on Facebook too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Speaking of MVP, it was a moment that made me laugh out loud in the first quarter on Sunday night. Did you notice that J.R. Smith got a lot of cheers when he touched the ball? First, certainly when he was introduced, but also when he touched the ball. And then he was on the free throw line because he and George Hill were actually really active in the first quarter of this game for the Cavs. You could tell that the two of them were on a mission, were hoping to find some redemption for the way that game number one ended and their roles in it in regulation. George Hill said he couldn't sleep the entire night after he missed that free throw. And obviously J.R. Smith has come around to sort of admitting that he really can't remember what was going on or anything was possible, or I don't know what I said to LeBron, but there's a chance that I told him I thought we were ahead. He also said, I'm used to being the butt of everyone else's jokes. So that made me laugh when he's on the free throw line and the fans are chanting, MVP, MVP. The Warriors did not trail in this game, but I really like the give and take with the Cavaliers, because every time the Warriors would pull away to say 11 points or even 15 points, because at one juncture late in the second quarter, they had a 15-point lead, the Cavaliers would reel them back in. And I liked that. Fact is, they're still in hostile territory. And yet, in the third quarter, which is supposed to be when the Warriors just go nutso, instead it was the Cavaliers that scored 34 points. And Kevin Love himself had a huge third quarter. Dropping dimes, dropping dimes. He was, in fact, dropping dimes, dropping dimes. So the Cavaliers got it down to 10 to start the fourth quarter, and then Steph happened. You got to give credit where credit is due. If we're going to give credit to LeBron James, and he certainly deserves it for what he did in the opener, then Curry gets credit, a lot of it, for the way that he's been able to match LeBron in many cases. Curry! LeBron will hit a big shot, and Curry will right away attempt to answer.
If you can shimmy on somebody else, you got to be all right getting shimmied on.
And the circus shots that he makes. But you know what impresses me the most about Steph? First of all, if you still think he's just a three-point shooter, you're just not paying attention. But he works his rear off to get open shots. He works his rear off to find a space where his teammates can pass him the ball so he can get an open shot. He's always moving without the ball. He's never stationary. I wonder if he wore a Fitbit, would we find out he did 25,000 steps over the course of the game? That's right. Just around and around the defenders. This is perfect. It's exactly what I'm talking about. So I hope that you enjoyed the Steph performance, the Steph show, or as people use the hashtag, Chef Curry. And I want to know, are you more interested in the Cleveland games of this NBA Finals, or are you more interested in what LeBron does next? Jump the shark, hashtag jump the shark. So we'll get some post-game reaction. We're going to head to the Bay Area coming up in 20 minutes and talk to former NBA big man Jim Barnett, who is part of the radio broadcast for the Warriors. I want to take your calls to 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shot clock at 8. Curry gives it up to Draymond down low. Draymond has to go with 5. Pass back to Curry. Curry fumbles it, gets it, checks the clock with 3, with 2. Backs up, shoots a fadeaway rainbow 3. Got it! Oh, he hit it! It was a circus shot by Curry. It had no chance. It had no chance of going in, but he nailed it. And the Warriors lead by 14. Curry, far hash mark, crossover dribble on Love. Floats it over to Draymond. Back to Curry. He'll quick release. It's up. It's good, and he got fouled! He got fouled by Kevin Love. Curry!
Regardless of how the season went, that's a pretty cool deal to accomplish, knowing who's held the record for, what is that, probably 6 to 8 years. But at the end of the day, it's all about trying to get a win and doing whatever you can to make that happen.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was a circus shot, all right. It was that moment where you just throw up your hands and go, okay, if he's going to hit shots like that, this is probably not going to be our night. Shot clock's running down. He loses the handle, so temporarily kind of fumbles the ball. Kevin Love is all spread out, so Curry's almost in his shadow. He's not even completely faced up. It's almost a one-handed heave, and it goes through the hoop. What? Stop it, Steph Curry. Tim Roy with the call on the Warriors Radio Network. And again, we'll talk to his partner, former NBA power forward Jim Barnett, will join us 15 minutes from now after game 2. So you heard Steph talk about the record. The record is, for the NBA Finals, 9 three-pointers, 5 of them coming in the fourth quarter. So he held that record briefly with Ray Allen and then hit another 3. As he was feeling it, to be sure.
Nerd alert.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Producer Tom put up a poll asking you about your interest level. And I am a little fascinated by this idea that people are already more concerned about what LeBron does in the offseason, because I feel like this series will play a big role, will have a big impact on what he does. I have absolutely no trouble believing that he hasn't thought about it much and that he definitely has not made a decision. It's would be difficult to perform as well as he is right now if he's already checked out or if he's already spending time deciding what his next move will be. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line here at CBS Sports Radio is brought to you by Geico with some great news. Switch to Geico. If you go to geico.com in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Steve is in Baltimore. Steve, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
Good.
Good. Yeah, that was an exciting game. Both LeBron and Steph Curry really stepped up their games. And, I think Stephen Curry is as good as Ray Allen or Reggie Miller as far as three-pointers.
Oh, yeah. He's going to go down as one of the best, if not the best, three-point shooter in NBA history.
And I think LeBron is one of the greatest players ever.
Of course.
I think if you put him against Michael Jordan, I think they're 2 different players, 2 different styles. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think there is a comparison. I think they're just accepted for great for who they are instead of just comparing the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. They're two completely different players in two different eras of basketball. At the same time, once the full body of work is done for each of them, and LeBron's got a ways to go still, unless something drastic happens physically, he's still in prime shape and not done yet. It is fun to kind of hold up the total body of work and look at the records that LeBron continues to eclipse and talk about it. I get tired of it happening every single day. I can do without the conversation more than once a year, maybe.
Yeah, I think LeBron just needs to get more rings to solidify his greatness.
I mean, he's one guy. It's a team sport, Steve. He can only do so much. What else could he possibly do this year to make a ring more likely?
He's done all he could. He just needs better teammates.
Yeah, but that's not on him, though. I mean, you can't judge a player by his teammates.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
Oh. Well, are you enjoying it?
It's great. Yeah, I enjoyed the series a lot.
Good. I'm so glad. Thanks so much for calling.
Okay, welcome.
John is listening in Detroit. John, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. First off, let me tell you, you'd never be on your own island alone. I would gladly be there with you. You're beautiful. You know sports. You'd be the fantastic, perfect partner.
Because I know sports?
Well, and you're beautiful. And
oh,
you know,
great. Great. Well, those two things will keep you company on a deserted island, sure.
Mainly the knowing sports, though. But I'm sorry, I started off in a bad way. Moving along. You know, I think the biggest problem we're seeing in this finals is that in game one, LeBron put up 51, and his team around him was so weak that it still came down that final free throw. Look, on an even mediocre squad, if your star player scores 51, you should be up by more than nothing when your star player, one of the other guys goes to the free throw line. So that's part of the problem. You ask if LeBron's thinking about opting out. Obviously, he's thinking about it. He sees how weak the cast is around him, much of which he seemed to help assemble. But, you know, the Warriors are going to win this series. Cleveland will be better when they go home. But blowing that game one opportunity, and they should have gotten beat by 20 tonight, except for a late basket. I mean, come on, Amy. This is an over.
Come on, what?
This is an overmatch. The Warriors are better than the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers.
Okay, it doesn't mean I can't enjoy it, though. I'm enjoying it.
We've seen
some great performances. It's good basketball. I don't have any issue with it.
I'm enjoying it, too. I think I might enjoy it more, though, if this was a full-strength Celtics team. What the Celtics with Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving have done to this Cavaliers team? I don't think with a 2-0 up advantage, they would have lost that series. And I think that might, but that injuries happen. That's part of the sport. So the best team in the East was LeBron James and his cast of Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a little bit unfortunate for basketball fans. And I think most people now assume this is going to be a sweep.
Okay, well, I don't know that it's unfortunate. We got to see LeBron James put 51 on the board in game one. I thought that was amazing. I wouldn't have missed that.
Individual moments are fantastic. But the best series, no matter what sport you're a fan of, I love basketball, I love football, I like hockey, I like baseball. I won a Super Bowl that the Tom Brady helmet catch, that was a great Super Bowl where he got beat that way because it went down to the last play. You know, Kirk Gibson hitting a home run off of Dennis Eckersley mm-hmm. is a great moment, but it wasn't a great World Series. So I think this has the opportunity to have many great moments. LeBron 51 in the first frame. You know, Steph Curry sets the record for three-pointers in the second game. Great. There's been great individual moments. But are we going to remember this as a great finals?
I have no idea. I couldn't care less. I mean, I couldn't care less. Who cares? I'm just going to enjoy the games as we've got them. But thank you, John. Unfortunately, we would never have any idea about the Celtics versus this team because they weren't full strength from the very first game. So lots of hypotheticals there. I feel like I am tempted to go into defend the finals mode, but you know what? If you tune out, well, then you're missing out because we are already seeing history. It's like The Last Jedi Star Wars movie. So many people wanting to rip it apart. I mean, fine. If you don't want to watch it and you hate it, great. I loved it, and I'm not sorry for it. like I said, most people just like to moan and complain. That's cool. You moan and complain. I'll watch the games. All right, coming up next, former NBA big man Jim Barnett, along with Tim Roy, makes up the Warriors radio team. We'll get a chance to pick his brain. He always has good stories, too.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Curry right sideline quickly on J.R. Smith. Tries to back him up. Left hand dribble.
He could have taken that shot, but he thought better of it.
Off a screen by Durant. Pick and roll. KD to the rim with a two-hand slam. A little elevation sensation for Kevin Durant. And the Warriors lead 111-93. And the Cavaliers will take their final timeout.
Overall, it was a really good balanced game. Good defense. Good intense defense. And excellent offense. So, yeah, we're happy with the way we played, but we know this is it's just getting started.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There was a decided uptick in the level of intensity for the Golden State Warriors, and it showed on both ends of the court, and also a huge commitment to rebounding. At the very least, making it even after they got sorely out-rebounded in the opener and things went down to the wire. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Tim Roy, the voice on the Warriors Radio Network. And during this postseason, former NBA big man Jim Barnett is also alongside and joins us now After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Jim, when Steph Curry gets into one of these types of rhythms and has this kind of a performance, I mean, do you run out of superlatives?
Yeah, you do. You really, he's really amazing. And he has these quarters where he just owns everything. And he had that in the fourth quarter. And he only played 8.5 minutes of that fourth quarter, but he put the game out of reach, hit all five of his threes. He gets on these rolls. And when he took that one shot from three-point range that was just a heave because the shot clock was winding down. He lost the dribble. It dribbled away. He had to chase it down. He's the only guy in the league, I think, that would there are other guys could make that shot accidentally and luckily. But when he throws it up there, you think, you know what, this might go in because it's him. And sure enough, it went in.
You know what? I just called you a big man. You were a guard. Sorry about that.
In those days, 6'4 was a big guard.
So one of the things that impresses me so much about Steph is how much motion and movement there is without the ball. From your perspective as someone who played that position and, can kind of see that, how much does he do? How much work does he do to get himself in a position where he can take these shots?
Well, his whole game is predicated on that. He can beat some people off the dribble and everything, but he's not exceedingly quick. He can juke. He loves to get bigger people on him, and he can juke them a little bit and get a three-point shot. But their whole offense is for Steve Kerr and the Warriors is predicated on moving the ball, passing, cutting, and then the defense, they lose track somewhere along the way, and they get lost and get mixed up, miscommunicate. And, of course, everybody on this team knows that Stephen Curry is moving and they know where he's going to go at certain times. And of course they look for him. And, it only takes a split second for him to get that shot off. He hit a 3-pointer in the corner and I guarantee you the ball wasn't in his hand more than half a second. Yeah. And it's amazing how he can get it out, catch and get into a shooting position and launch it in that amount of time. It looks like, I think most people would do that. They would shoot air balls all the time. But he's very accurate with it, and it was trivia. There are lots of things to talk about in this game tonight. The Warriors, for me, this is the first time they've put together four good quarters in a row. They'll have, a couple of quarters in a game, particularly just one. In the Houston series, it was just hodgepodge all over the place. So I was glad to see them do that. They shot over 50% in each quarter. Their defense was especially good in the second quarter when the Cavs, I think, were 6 of 23 in that one. There's lots to talk about. Livingston's been great in games one and two, so they're getting something there, a nice little punch. And, it's interesting, that thing you ran, and Tim Roy was talking, and the score was what was it, a 111 to 93?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, 3 minutes before that, at the 8:11 mark in the fourth quarter, Tyronn Lue called a timeout. And at that time, the score was 100-89, an 11-point deficit, which had been a lot during the game. Seems like there were a lot of 11-point deficits. But the Warriors, they controlled the game. They controlled the game from start to finish. Now, you know, the Cavs are a good team. They would make their run, and it would get within, I think it closest it got after the first quarter, maybe four. But they'd make the, you know, they'd get it up to double digits, and all of a sudden it would come back down to nine and eight and what have you. So that timeout at the 8:11 mark, and the score was 189, and I think Tyronn used his last timeout at the 5:15 mark, so that was essentially 3 minutes later,
mm-hmm.
and the Warriors had outscored the Cavs 11-4 in that run, and that's when it was at 111-93. That's when they cashed in their chips, although I think LeBron played another minute after that, but you could just see right there they were resigned that this was going to be this game, and they were going to go back down two and just wait for game three. And I know this, anything can happen in games three and four back in Cleveland.
It sounded like post-game that they were pleased with their effort on LeBron. Now, he nearly had a triple-double, but he didn't have the 51 points like he did in the opener. What did you see defensively that the Warriors did against him?
Well, it looked to me like he was a little more fatigued. He didn't try to go at people one-on-one quite as much. I do think they double-teamed a little sooner at times, caught him off guard. It probably didn't catch him off guard, but he made the play because he makes passes. He finds people. He makes this guy, Amy, I'm going to tell you right now, I've never seen anyone like him. And he's the greatest player in the NBA right now, and he's a generational player. That's what's nice about these finals. You got Kevin Durant, who last year was the MVP in the finals and scored 30 or more in every game, all five games of the finals. And they've got Stephen Curry, you know, two-time MVP. Mm-hmm. Durant was MVP. You got LeBron. You got four great players here. When you talk about Draymond Green and what he does defensively, and then Klay Thompson, there are a lot of great players out there, but particularly LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Stephen Curry. These guys are Hall of Famers, and it's pretty rare, and so people should appreciate it.
Mm. He was a former NBA big guard. Jim Barnett is now part of the broadcast team for the Warriors Radio Network, along with Tim Roy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The moment that I laughed, a couple of moments I laughed at in this game, when the fans are chanting MVP at J.R. Smith, poor J.R. And then also when Steph Curry is in the lane fronting Tristan Thompson and comes up with a steal.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of switches. There are a lot of what would be described as mismatches because both offenses are pretty fluid and like to use the pick and roll a lot. And yet, despite the size disadvantage, Steph's worked really hard at the defense.
Well, his defense is, you know, unfortunately, and sometimes it's good, and that time it was with Thompson, he uses his hands a lot. He gets pushed around an awful lot, and he was never known for his defense, and he's worked on it hard. He's a lot better than he used to be, and he did a commendable job even in game one. LeBron's going to own him and do what he wants, but at least he kept him in front of him for the most part. But he has a tendency to reach all the time, and, of course, that one, it's all or nothing with Thompson. If he doesn't reach and steal it there, he's got to get out of the way and let Thompson just score, or you know, you don't want to foul him on and get him a dunk in a 3-point play. It's an interesting series, and as they say, LeBron is absolutely amazing. And as I heard you talk about a near triple double, yeah, LeBron, people would say, gee, wasn't up to par, but you know, he's got 29 points, 13 assists, and 9 rebounds. A couple of steals. I mean, we expect so much of him that you just take for granted that he can put up those kinds of numbers.
Good point.
It boggles my mind. And I'm going to say something about Kevin Durant. He was a lot better defensively tonight on LeBron James. In the first game, I thought Kevin was awful. And quite frankly, at both ends of the floor, I mean, he got his numbers in game number one, but he was 8 of 22, and he was 1 of 7 from 3-point range. And tonight, the first three that he didn't even take a three in the first quarter, I don't think. And the first one he hit, someone threw him the ball. And so, you know, these guys nowadays, the catch and shoot three is so much more accurate than if you try to create it yourself. Now, Kevin Durant can create a shot anytime that he wants. He can get to any spot on the floor and get a shot off and get a pretty good look, particularly when he comes inside that three-point line. He's really deadly that way. But I loved the way he managed the game tonight. He kind of let he didn't try to go ISO all the time. He did hit a couple of ISO shots, but he never dribbled. They threw it to him, and he turned and had that triple threat position so that the dribble keeps his defender a little bit at bay, and he just goes up and shoots it. And so, I mean, what an efficient game he had, mm-hmm. shooting 10 of 14, 2 of 3, and then the 4 free throws, and he got 7 assists and 9 rebounds. They were more physical tonight, the Warriors were. They were not very physical. They didn't match the physicality in game one. And, of course, JaVale McGee.
I was just about to ask about him. Great minds think alike, Jim.
Everything.
Thank you.
It changed everything, huh?
So what did you like about him in the starting lineup? I have about 60 seconds.
They forget about him offensively. You can lob the ball into him. They can't do that with a small lineup and Looney starting at the center position. And he kind of he changed the thing. He can run the floor, and he gives them a little bit of rim protection there. At least it deters them from going inside as much.
Yeah, it definitely does. And he's so active. He moves around a ton, and he was really good around the rim, too. So had the hands tonight that worked, whether they were passing to him or he was rolling to get a dunk. So and you mentioned Sean Livingston, who didn't miss in that first half either. He was great. So, Jim, it's always great to talk to you, and I appreciate you staying up with us and giving us a few minutes live. You can find Jim on Twitter at where did you go? Oh, you are at UOGrad66. And I know you've been talking with fans back and forth about Converse sneakers, all kinds of
well,
stuff.
Well, I know you're running out of time. I just want to say something.
Sure.
And I'm old school too, but I understand new school. They make the shoes and they don't bring the rubber up on the sides. And that's why, you know, our JR slipped the other night to catch an edge, and it's on the edge there. It's synthetic. It's plastic, essentially. Mm. It's synthetic, and it's not the rubber that comes up. And they slide all the time. And Steph Curry had this problem, and I helped him change his shoes, and he did a few years ago. And they changed him, and so he didn't slip anymore.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's a good way to mesh the old and the new school. Jim, again, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Call me anytime. Thank you, Amy.
How about that? Sometimes the new way of doing things, maybe the cheaper way of doing things, the easier way of doing things is not always the best way to do things. Yeah, that slip and fall by J.R. Smith was the start of what's been an inauspicious NBA Finals for him so far. He called himself terrible tonight, so wasn't able to come up with any kind of redemption for the end of game number one. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.